Amen. Okay, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Appreciate all of your work this weekend in our absence, and we were praying for you in the services here. 1 John chapter 5. And Brother Joe, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Lord, I just thank you for this evening, Father, and do thank you for your word and the opportunity you've given us now to look into it. I just pray that you would guide us and direct us into it, Father, and just draw us closer to you, and may we take something home that we can apply to our lives for the remainder of this week. And just now I pray.
Amen. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and every one that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. You know, sometimes in math classes and math tests, it'll say, prove your answer. What's the teacher doing? The teacher wants to know if you're just guessing or if you really know how to find the answer. It's kind of like playing an instrument by ear. You might be able to play it, and you might be able to play it very well. But if someone put a piece of music in front of you without you hearing it, would you be able to play it? And so when we think about proving our answer, you know, sometimes in a Christian life, we know the right answer because we've heard it so many times. But if we're honest with ourselves and with God, we don't know the formula to get there. And sometimes that's why we don't get there. I mean, we know the end. We know the goal we want to be at. But sometimes we really don't know the formula to get there. We've heard the answer so many times, but we don't know how to actually find it through the right formula. So, what about in the spiritual realm here? You know, we're living in a day where the contemporary church wants to talk about the love of God, but they do not want to talk about the commandments of God. And sometimes it can go the opposite way on the other side. Sometimes there are groups that want to talk about the commandments of God, but they have no love for you if you are not keeping those commandments. There's no room for grace. So where are we in this mix tonight? Do we really know the right formula? Notice in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in what? In deed and in what? Truth. So do we know the right formula for love? I mean, sure, anybody can say, well, I love you. But do we know the formula to actually love God in our fellow man? Well, let's look at some things here. Number one, if you're taking notes tonight. Number one, if we really believe that Jesus is the Christ, then we will repent of our sins and receive him as our Savior. That's a long one. I'll say it again. Number one, if we really believe that Jesus is the Christ, then we will repent of our sins and receive him as our Savior. In 1 John 5:1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is what? He's born of God. So there are a lot of people, you know, that talk about God. If you hold your place here, let's turn to Matthew chapter 7. All kinds of people talk about God, but do they know him? Are they really born again? Well, from this passage in Matthew 7, we'd have to say No, they are not truly born again. In Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, what? Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that, what? Doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, what? Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? So they're talking about the Lord all the time. Lord, Lord. But verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I what? Never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So these people were not truly born again. But if a person truly believes that Jesus is the Christ, who is the Christ? Christ is the Messiah, the anointed one. Notice in John chapter 1, John chapter 1, there's a lot of people that really think they're kind of on neutral ground, but there is no such thing as neutral ground. If a person truly believes that Jesus is the Christ, truly believes, that person will receive the Lord. In John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he what? Power to become the sons of God, even to them that what? Believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of who? Of God. So truly being born again. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Notice with me in Psalm 116. Psalm 116. So what we find is there are a lot of people actually that are on what they would think neutral ground, but there really is no neutral ground. We are either for Christ or against him. Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his what? Benefits toward me. I will take what? The cup of salvation. And what? Call upon the name of the Lord. If I really believe that Jesus is the Christ and that he died on the cross for me, if I truly believe that, I will receive him. But the doubts that people have, they don't truly believe, so they don't call upon him. Notice in John chapter 3, in John chapter 3, and verse 16, John 3, 16. For God, what? So loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is what? Not condemned. But he that believeth not is what? Condemned already, because he hath what? Not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved what? Darkness rather than light, because their deeds were what? Evil. So a lot of people say, I believe in God. I believe in God. If they truly did believe that Jesus is the Christ, they would receive him. The problem is they love their darkness more than Christ. Notice in the same chapter here, verses 1 through 3, John 3, 1 through 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be what? Born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of what? The Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, what? How can these things be? He was still abiding in unbelief. How can these things be? He didn't understand. How long before he received Christ? I don't know. It might have been when he saw Christ hanging on the cross. It was to Nicodemus that Jesus said in verse 14, And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Notice also in verse 13, as Jesus is talking to him, he inserts this in verse 13, And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is what? In heaven. So Jesus is inserting here, Nicodemus, you're a ruler of the Jews. Think about this one, Nicodemus. The Son of Man is God. No man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Jesus is talking to him right there, telling him, Nicodemus, I'm God. Nicodemus, think about all the scriptures you know, but don't really believe. Nicodemus, like what scriptures? Like Isaiah 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, 6. Nicodemus knew these scriptures, but did he know them? Did he really believe them? Isaiah 9, 6, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Okay, the child is born, but the son is given from heaven. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the what? The Mighty God. And then what? The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Nicodemus, do you believe these scriptures? The Son of Man is here on earth, but the Son of Man is in heaven. Nicodemus, think, Nicodemus. The scripture prophesied that the child would be born, but the son would be given from heaven. He would be the mighty God, the everlasting Father. Think, Nicodemus, what do you really believe? Let's go then to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. And verse 16, Matthew 20, 16. So we've been looking at this scripture in 1 John 5, 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. But what about this young man? In Matthew 20, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus, what is the formula? Verse 21, Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, and what? Follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he what? He went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He did not truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. He walked away. So let's go back to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John 5. So what is the correct formula? If we really believe that Jesus is the Christ, we will be born again. But many people do not truly believe that. Number two, if we really love God, we will then love those who are born again by Him. I'll say that again. Number two, if we really love God, we will then love those who are born again by Him. In 1 John chapter 5, in verse 1, once again, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is what? Begotten of Him. So if we truly loveth Him that begat, that's referring to the Father. If we truly love Him, we're going to love those that are begotten of Him. So the point is this. Some people say, I love God, I just don't get along with people. I love God, but I just can't stand being around people. The problem is, if that is our problem, what we do need to do is learn the formula. Because if we don't love those who are begotten of God, we don't love God. If we don't love those that are children of God, then we don't really love God. Because God loves His children. Do you love your children? Of course you do. Do other people love your children? They may or they may not. But if they do not love your children, they don't really love you. So the Bible's clear. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. In other words, if you hurt someone's child, they're going to be very angry at you, the parent. The parent is going to be very angry. Well, if we don't love God's children, you know, so we're talking about people can't figure out, okay, I know I'm supposed to love other Christians. If I'm having a hard time doing that, what is my problem? The formula right here is very clear. If I'm having trouble loving God's children, my biggest problem is I'm not loving God Himself like I should be. Because He's the one, as it says there. It says, and everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. So if I'm not loving God's children, my problem down deep inside is I'm not loving God as I should. Because those are His children. And He says to love His children. So my problem is then, well then, I love myself or my own stubbornness more than I love God. Can't serve two masters. It's either God or self or something else. Notice in chapter 4, 1 John 4:20. If a man say, I love God, and what? Hateth his brother, he is what? He's a liar. So it's saying the same thing as 1 John 5:1. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he what? Hath not seen. And this commandment have we from Him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. It's just, John really hits on this, doesn't he? Throughout this book we've seen, he just really hits on this love thing, loving the brethren. Can you imagine being one of the 12? Can you imagine being one of 12 guys that for 3.5 years were told they walked together and followed the Lord? I don't know how it is with you ladies, but A lot of times guys are kind of crude. I don't mean vulgar crude. I just mean, well, a lot of guys are vulgar crude. But I mean, Christian guys should never be that way. But a lot of times, guys don't really care that much about other people's feelings. Maybe it's the same way with ladies, I don't know, but all I can speak for is guys. And so, can you imagine living together, working together, especially when you don't even have a set place to stay and you're always on the road? You know how it is when you do traveling and, you know, trying to keep up with your Bible reading and praying, and when your whole schedule is just disrupted, if you don't have a specific quiet place to go, it's hard, isn't it? And think of these guys, you know, it's like, where are the meals coming from? You know, there wasn't a cafeteria, a kitchen. There wasn't a set bedroom. They're always on the road, staying different places. A lot of ladies followed the Lord Jesus, and so I'm sure there were different meals at different times. You know, do you like to eat at a certain time of the day? Well, when you're on the road and you're at the mercy of other people, you don't always get a meal at the time maybe you would like, or the time you're hungry. There's just a lot of possible irritations when you're constantly traveling. And just think, I just wonder, John talks so much about love, loving the brethren. Do you ever get the idea that maybe it was a little difficult for those guys? Probably was. But the emphasis on it, that all would know that they were Christians by their love for one another. So the correct formula. So number one, we've seen if we really believe that Jesus is the Christ, then we will repent of our sins and receive him as Savior. Number two, if we really love God, we will then love those who are born again by him. Number three, if we really love the children of God, then we will love God and keep his commandments. 1 John 5:2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we, what? Love God and what? Keep his commandments. These are all different ways to prove your answer. Do I really love God? Well, if I don't love his children, no, I don't really love God. Okay, now, do I really love his people? Well, no, I don't if I am not keeping God's commandments. So it's like coming back from all different ways, you know, 30. 5 times 6 is 30? How can I prove that? Well, I could count out all the ones and prove that it's 30. Or I could get them in groups of sixes or groups of fives. Okay, we're looking at this from all different angles. Prove it. I say I love God. Do you love his children? Well, then you don't really love God. So I do love his children. Do you? Well, prove it. Okay, are you keeping God's commandments? If you are not keeping God's commandments, you do not really love his children. You see, it's bringing us from all different angles to prove our answer. Because if we do not really keep God's commandments, we do not really love his children, because we are being a detriment to them. We're being a hindrance to them. As I said, the contemporary church, per se, talks a lot about the love of God. But you know what? If you make them prove their answer, you're going to prove that they do not really love God, because they do not think highly of God's commandments. The contemporary church greatly downplays this matter. I knew a man that passed away. I heard that he was going to a fundamental church, and that was It was a different church than I knew that this person grew up in. Well, then the funeral information came out, and the funeral was at a contemporary church. And I'm thinking, something doesn't add up here. Why is this all this confusion? What's going on? Well, then I heard he had an alcohol problem. I have a feeling I know where he got that problem. It was a contemporary church. You know, I've been saying this for years now. You know, the contemporary church is dabbling in alcohol. And they just think, I mean, they're just so giddy about it all. It's like, finally free. I can finally drink alcohol and not feel guilty about it. That's what they're thinking. So what happened to this man? He had a bad alcohol problem, thanks to contemporary philosophies. Notice in John chapter 8. Talk about confusion. John chapter 8 and verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is what? The servant of sin." The contemporary church said, you know, you fundamentalists, all you talk about is rules, rules, rules. Whereas we just talk about the love of God, the love of God, the love of God. You know what 1 John proves? They're liars. Because if we don't keep the commandments of God, we do not love God. And if we say we love all these people, and the contemporary church loves to pat themselves on the back, saying, we love people. But if you downplay God's commandments, you or I do not love those people. Just like that man dies with alcohol problems. Proverbs 23:20. Do you think Eve really loved Adam? Well, the bottom line is, in a very real sense, no, because what did she do? She broke the commandment of God and gave unto her husband with her, Genesis 3:6. That's the point I'm making. If we are breaking God's commandments or downplaying God's commandments, we don't really love those people because we're going to bring judgment on them. Proverbs 23:20. Be not among who? Wine bibbers. A wine bibber is someone who is imbibing. Imbibe means to take in, to drink. Be not among wine bibbers, people that are drinking alcohol, among riotous eaters of flesh. Hey, look in verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at what? The wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will what? Seek it yet again. That is called addiction. Seeking something again that hurts you over and over and over, and yet you seek it again. That is what the contemporary church is boasting about. It's men's meetings where they get together and brew craft beer. And oh, they think they are so free. And they are so in bondage. They don't love one another as men. when they do that. They're breaking God's commandments. So back in 1 John chapter 5, so verse 2, 1 John 5, 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we what? Love God and what? Keep his commandments. So if I say I love other Christians, but I am not keeping God's commandments, I am a liar. Because proving my answer, the only way I really love God's people is if I obey God and encourage them to obey God. Number four, if we really love God, then keeping his commandments is not grievous, but joyful to do. Say that again. If we really love God, then keeping his commandments is not grievous, but joyful to do. 1 John 5, 3. For this is what? The love of God that we what? Keep his commandments, and his commandments are what? Not grievous. So this, it's that first love. It's joy. Notice in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation. Or excuse me, 2. Chapter 2, I'm sorry. Revelation 2. And verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left what? Thy first law. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come to thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. So the church at Ephesus, in verse 2, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. So, if we really love God, what have we seen tonight? If we really love God and believe that Jesus is the Christ, we will repent and receive him. Number two, if we really love God, then we will love those whom he has begotten. We will love those whom he has saved. If we really love God, number three, then we will love God and keep his commandments. That is, excuse me, number three is if we really love the children of God, then we will love God and keep his commandments. And number four, if we really love God, then keeping his commandments is not grievous, but a joyful thing to do. So, 1 John, John really, really hits home. He shows us what we are, and then he shows us the standard hasn't changed. And he shows us what we are, and then he shows us the standard has not changed. And then he shows us, okay, you say you love God. Well, there's three different ways here to really test yourself. Do you love his children? No, then you don't really love him. Look, okay, do you say you love his children? Are you keeping God's commands? No, then you don't really love his children, because you're being a bad example to his children. And like in the case of liquor, like I said, those people are bringing judgment upon other professing Christians. Do we say we love God? I do love you, Lord. I do love your children, and I will keep your commandments. And then John hits us right back and says, but is it grievous to you? Is it grievous? Are you really keeping them with a joyful heart? So may the Lord help us. Powerful book. And I pray that it would help us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you would help us, Lord. It's so easy to say things, say words. But how often are we really lying? Lord, I pray that you would help us. If we truly do love you. We will accept the gift that you've offered to us. We will accept salvation. We understand that people that say they love God but are rejecting Christ, they don't really love you. Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, to think about the Spirit of the law, the truth. Lord, please work in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.